The case for argument is Sylvester v. SOS Children's Village. Mr. Michaels.
May it please the court, Robert Michaels on behalf of plaintiff appellant Rosemary Sylvester. I'd like to focus on two points this morning. First, that Ms. Sylvester's firing, which occurred immediately after she had a one-on-one meeting with SOS's chief executive, Job West, cannot be decoupled from the authorization of that firing, which happened the night before. And that authorization shows that the firing was linked to Ms. Sylvester sending and signing a letter to SOS complaining about discrimination by Job West. And the second point I'd like to make...
Who authorized this? I don't understand.
The firing was authorized by SOS's board president, Joe Skender, and SOS board member, Mark Roth, in a meeting with West the night before. And that authorization is the key event in the case, because at that meeting the night before Sylvester was fired, West, Joe Skender, and Mark Roth met, and they decided to fire two other women who signed this letter complaining about discrimination by Job West. But SOS admitted that at that meeting, they also discussed Sylvester's performance, and they authorized her firing based on Sylvester's reaction to the firing of the other two letter signers. And the problem for SOS here is that unless the letter played some role in the firing of Sylvester, there was no reason to discuss her at all at that meeting, let alone authorize her firing. The meeting was not about employee performance reviews, and just a couple months earlier, West had given Sylvester a terrific performance review. And the only reasonable inference, or at least a reasonable inference that we're entitled to take to the jury here, is that the participants in that meeting were looking for a hook to fire Sylvester. That's why they discussed her performance. And when they realized that her performance wouldn't do the job, they found a new reason, which was her reaction to the firing of the other letter signers. But by its terms, that authorization shows a causal link, because there was nothing to connect Sylvester to the other two women who were fired apart from their participation in the letter. Their job duties didn't overlap at all, and Sylvester didn't even work at the same location as one of the other women who was fired.
Did the other two sue?
The other two did sue. They were co-plaintiffs in this case, and then they settled. Sylvester's the only remaining defendant. Or plaintiff, I'm sorry. So the next day then, West is primed to fire Sylvester, and he executes the plan. He announces the firing of the other two women to all of his staff, but then he says, if anyone has any questions about what's just happened, come see me privately. So Sylvester takes the bait. She goes into his office. No one else is present. He closes the door, and he has this closed-door meeting with her where he would maximize his ability to spin the events in his favor to justify firing Sylvester. And that's what he did. And tellingly here, SOS has offered no explanation of why Sylvester was discussed at that meeting the night before. They didn't explain why they discussed her performance.
No, there were five altogether who wrote this letter. So what happened to the other two? So we've accounted for three.
Well, we've accounted for three. And the key point here is that while there were five whose names appeared on the letter, only four people actually signed it, because there was an investigation that occurred after the letter was sent, and people were given the employees were given the chance to stand by the assertions of the letter.
So what happened to the fourth?
The fourth was not terminated. But that, of course, just because they didn't fire everybody who engaged
in... No, I'm just curious.
Okay. SOS has, they haven't explained why they discussed Sylvester's performance. They haven't explained why they authorized her firing, but no one else is firing based on the reaction to the firing of the other two women. And they never explained why Sylvester's reaction would matter. Why would they care if she didn't like the firing of the other two women, unless they were concerned that that reaction meant she was still committed to a resolution of the discrimination allegations about Job West. And instead, SOS is, they pretend that the authorization never happened, and they say that it fired her solely because of her conduct in the meeting with West. But SOS's view of that conduct is inevitably colored by the authorization that was given less than 24 hours earlier. And it's at least an issue that has to go to the jury as to whether SOS genuinely believed that Sylvester's conduct at that meeting, in a vacuum, standing alone, apart from the authorization, would have justified her firing.
Suppose you didn't have the evidence of the night before that meeting, and all you had was the evidence of the meeting immediately before her discharge. Would you still have a case?
We would. And while the evidence from the night before is obviously vital, we would still have a case.
You don't mean it's vital if you say you still would have
a case.
It's
obviously important evidence. Thank you. It's obviously important evidence, but what we would still have, apart from that meeting, would have been the suspicious timing. We would have had evidence of pretext based on the fact that that SOS didn't follow its progressive discipline policy, and that that the conduct that they allege she engaged in wasn't sufficient to motivate the discharge. The second point I wanted to emphasize this morning is that the district court and SOS's approach is inconsistent with Title VII. The district, and specifically the protections against retaliation, the district court found that found for SOS because Sylvester had asked Job West in the one-on-one meeting, "What guarantee do I have that you won't say false and profane things about me, and that specifically that you won't call me a bitch anymore?" Which is one of the allegations in the letter. And the district court found, quote, that Sylvester's statement, quote, suggested an intent to provoke West rather than engage him in civil discussion. But apart from drawing an impermissible inference against Sylvester based on her state of mind, this conclusion by the district court is inconsistent with Title VII, because all Sylvester did was ask West not to discriminate against her. And if that kind of request is by definition so provocative that it can justify a firing as a matter of law and lead to summary judgment for the employer, then Title VII's protection against retaliation would be close to meaningless. Because if the employer was thin-skinned or dishonest enough to say, "Well, you know what, I know you complained about discrimination, and that's okay, but boy, the way you did it, it provoked me, so you're fired." If they didn't even have to take that to the jury, if that claim of provocation, which it was enough for summary judgment, then Title VII's retaliation provision wouldn't mean anything.
Well, no. Ordinarily, the person just files a complaint. There's no confrontation with the employer.
Well, that's correct. They would, but even then, what if the employer could say, "Well, I read that complaint and the way they described me in there, boy, that really provoked me." I mean, at the very least.
No. That's a privileged document. That's different.
But
that's different from going to the boss and say, "Oh, you better." Give me some guarantees of good behavior, you know.
Well, that
is insubordinate.
Well, we don't believe that it is insubordinate, and also the point here is that.
Well, how would you feel if someone working for you said, "I don't like the way you treat me, and I want a guarantee that you're not going to continue"? Wouldn't you consider that a hostile act?
Not necessarily. It would depend on what happened, and that's what the jury would need to determine here, is what happened in the meeting, who said what, how did they react to it, who's credible, who's not credible.
Right, okay, but you're acknowledging that if it was indeed provocative, a jury might decide that was a non-pretextual ground for firing the person.
Well, that might be true in a case.
You can fire a person for filing a frivolous complaint.
Oh, you absolutely can. And in here, we're not saying that you can't fire someone for being insubordinate. But given the authorization the night before, and given the fact dispute about what happened at the meeting, it has to go to the jury as to whether SOS genuinely believed that that conduct at the meeting, standing alone, was so insubordinate that it required her termination that minute. They didn't even have to follow their policy. It was so insubordinate that they just had to fire her on the spot. And SOS has not responded to that argument.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Michaels. Ms. Albrecht?
May it please the court, counsel. Why was Rose Sylvester fired? Was it because she complained about discrimination that's unlawful under Title VII? Well, the question is what precipitated the termination, and I suggest that the court focus on what happened right before she was terminated. Taking the facts that Ms. Elstead admits, after the termination of Ms. Elstead and Ms. Ryan, Ms. Sylvester came up to Mr. West and said, I have one question. I want to speak to you. They then met privately in Mr. West's office. Sylvester said, what guarantee do I have from you that you will stop talking about me in a profane, defamatory, and untrue manner? West stated he didn't know what she was talking about. Sylvester said, I think you know what I'm talking about. In fact, I've got the names and numbers of several staff members who can verify that you've talked about me in a profane, defamatory, and untrue manner. I've been in meetings with you where you've said misleading and/or defamatory statements about me. According to Ms. Sylvester, and taken as true for the purposes of summary judgment, West got up from his chair and approached Ms. Sylvester with his hand raised. He denied her accusations. She continued, not only have other people heard you talk about me this way, but I've been present when you referred to female staff and board members as bitches. West then moved his hand toward her, pointing toward her face. Sylvester stated, are you threatening me? It looks like you're threatening me. You're standing over me with your arm raised and your finger in my face. Do I need to have legal counsel present? West said, this meeting is over. Ms. Sylvester responded, no, it's not. You haven't answered my question. West said, get out of my office. Sylvester said, I will, but just tell me one more thing. When you mentioned in the meeting with staff just a few minutes ago that you met with SOS and Gordon Johnson last night, I find it interesting that you failed to disclose that you had legal counsel present. Is it true that Mark Roth, your legal counsel, was in attendance at that meeting? West said, yes. Sylvester said, thank you, and left the office. Later, shortly thereafter, after West spoke with the board president, Mr. Skender, and recommended Sylvester's termination, he met again with Sylvester. Sylvester asked why she was being terminated. He told her her services were no longer needed and that she was terminated effective immediately. When Sylvester asked why, West stated he did not like the way Sylvester talked to him. Sylvester testified at her deposition that she believed she was terminated because of her conduct in the earlier meeting she had had with West. Now, the district court concluded that these comments suggest an intent to provoke West rather than to engage him in a civil discussion. And there's a fair amount of argument in the briefs about whether or not Sylvester had raised her voice, whether or not she had what she had said could be considered an outburst. But regardless of the tone in which her comments were delivered, she argues that other conclusions from the reason for her termination are equally, if not more, reasonable. But we submit that they haven't shown, as they must, what conclusions those are. Is there really any other conclusion that could be reached?
Sure, the conclusion that could be reached is that while obviously West was extremely angry at her for her confronting him in this way, he wouldn't have fired her except that, you know, he fired the other two and didn't like to have these people complaining about discrimination.
Well, and why that's...
Why couldn't a rational jury infer that?
Well, for one thing, there's no evidence. We don't have evidence about what West knew about the contents of the letter. It's something that's not argued. what's argued in their opening brief is that Joe Skender told Mr. West early on that there was a negative letter written about him and that some of the conduct in that letter could be described as discriminatory. Didn't describe the nature of the conduct. Frankly, there are portions of that letter that were anti-gay,
West,
and that's not even
West
covered by Title VII.
Sylvester was one of the complainants.
He did not know that.
Well, he must have known it after she started talking about it to him.
Talking about it to him when?
In this climactic confrontation.
Well, the question is that what she was talking about? Did he make that connection? There's no evidence that he knew that she had complained about discrimination, specifically about bitches or anything else. There were six people who authored that letter, and it's a semantic issue as to the name, whether the names that were typed on that letter meant that the folks that whose names appeared on there had signed it. Their names appeared, and they all agreed to submit the contents of the letter because they believed that they were valid complaints. Now, three of the people were terminated ultimately after they'd written the letter, but three were not. Three were not. If the motivation was to terminate these folks because they'd written this letter, why not terminate all of them? Skender knew who had signed the letter.
Well, what was the basis of this discussion the night before? What was that about?
Well, there was discussion in that meeting both about the letter itself and how the organization was dealing with some very serious allegations against Mr. West.
Was Sylvester mentioned in that meeting?
She was discussed, as were Elstead and Ryan
discussed
and others.
In what setting? What was said about her?
The only thing that was discussed about her was not in connection with the letter, but whether or not she had performance issues. Now, there's a, you know, to say that there weren't any performance issues distresses the record. In fact, one of the big allegations in the letter, the May 5th letter, was that Ms. Sylvester that Mr. West had somehow lied to the Department of Children and Family Services with regard to an internal investigation or investigation that DCFS was conducting. But the fact of the matter was that the only reason that the DCFS became involved at all was that because Ms. Sylvester had taken it upon herself to alert the Lockport Police Department that there were allegations against certain children that were resident at the village. And she faxed that information to Lockport Police Department in violation of her ethical responsibilities as a counselor. She revealed information about individual children for whom she was responsible to the Lockport Police Department. So there were any number of, to say that, geez, she got a great performance review before.
But why did they bring it up at this meeting?
Well, they talked about her work performance.
Why?
Well, because she was an outspoken individual who had taken this step.
About West's use of the word bitches.
That wasn't addressed, and that wasn't the inference that they want to make is that bitches had something to do with it. But if you look at the six single.
This meeting, part of the meeting was about the accusations against West, wasn't it?
Only very generally about the fact that there were serious allegations against him, that there was an investigation going on.
And now, why are Sylvester's unrelated performance problems brought up at this meeting?
Well, they're not unrelated because there was because the letter, among many, 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 many other.
No, her. According to you, he never knew she was part of the letter. Isn't that what you were saying before?
Correct.
He has no idea that she's one of the signatories of this letter.
That's correct.
That's your proposition.
That's correct.
So why is her unrelated performance issue being discussed at this meeting?
Because you're talking about an organization that is in a state of disarray and serious morale problems. The issues with Elstead and Ryan had to do with any number of insubordinate types of conduct. They were talking about problems within the organization. This was a crisis for them that they had to address to follow
West,
their mission.
Did West confront her at their meeting with this Lockport police business?
No.
Why not?
Well, because that wasn't the reason for the termination.
But wasn't that the reason for his meeting with her?
No. He met with her. She asked to meet with him because she wanted to talk about Elstead and Ryan's terminations.
But I thought that the night before they had authorized him to take action against
her. What they said was they decided to terminate Elstead and Ryan, and they said, you know, if you decide to terminate West, I'm sorry, Sylvester, based on her reaction, you know, we don't have
based
a problem with that.
To
the terminations. To the terminations of Elstead and Ryan. If Your Honors.
What does that mean, her reaction?
How she behaved based on two co-employees being fired.
What's he supposed to do? Tell her they've been fired and ask her reaction, or what?
What he did was he announced at the meeting if anybody had any questions, they could talk with him. She asked to talk with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms.
Thank
Albrecht.
You.
Mr. Michaels, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Your Honors, Sylvester, SOS has never stated until just now that Sylvester's firing had anything to do with her performance. This whole issue with the Lockport police incident happened before Sylvester received her performance review 2 months before she was fired. And when Mark Roth was asked at his deposition what performance issues about Sylvester were discussed, What were you guys discussing? He couldn't remember them. This was the first time that they have attempted to explain why her performance was discussed, and it's the first time that they've mentioned this whole DCFS issue, which had nothing to do with her firing. There is also a fact dispute about what Wes knew, and as Your Honor indicated, from the moment that Sylvester said to Wes, what guarantee do I have that you won't call me a bitch anymore? If he didn't know it before, at that moment, there's at least a reasonable inference to be drawn that he knew she was one of the people involved with this letter, and there's other evidence in the record that he knew as well.
What other evidence?
Well, there's a statement by Brian Barkley at Record 32, paragraph 103, that he believed that he thought that Wes knew Sylvester, Ryan, and Elstead were involved in the letter. And there's also an inference to be drawn from the fact that Sylvester, and Sylvester alone, was singled out the night before for firing based on her reaction to the other firing of the other two letter signers. No one else was singled out in that way, not even the people whose names appeared on the letter but didn't sign it.
What was the basis of Barkley's testimony?
The basis of Barkley's testimony was his belief based on his close working relationship with Job West and Job West's discussion with him about the letter and the entire incident.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Michael and Ms. Alford. Next, last